Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation in life where you saw something where evil just kind of abounded and it had to do with somebody and you thought to yourself, I never thought that a person would do something like that, maybe to another person or in a particular type of a situation. And you just thought, well, you know what? I never in my life thought somebody would do something like that. Well, listen, in just a moment, we're going to continue our look at the parables. And we're going to look at understanding the parable of the wheat and the tare out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. So grab your Bible. Come on back. We'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so glad that you're joining us, and we hope that your new year is off and rolling in a great, great fashion. In just a moment, we're going to take a look at some passages out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to that passage. Once again, that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And we're going to continue our look at the parables. But in today's study, what we see is that this study invites us to delve into one of Jesus' profound parables, revealing truths about the kingdom of God, number one, the presence of evil, number two, and ultimate judgment upon each and every person. So, you know, as we look into the Word of God, read along with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. We're going to begin reading at verse 24. Again, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning with verse 24. It says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did not you sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us as we endeavor to look at your word. Father, I pray that we will learn much from you in how we live our lives, how we treat other people, and Lord, the ultimate truths that you teach us coming from your parable about mankind and about our relationships towards one another, as well as with you. So Lord, during this time, I pray that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be high and lifted up, and that Lord, we would be drawn close to you. As always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day that there would be a rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. So, Father, may this time be productive for each and every one of us as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Now, as we look at this particular parable, to understand the teaching of Jesus in this parable that's often called the parable of the wheat and the tares, there are some implications for our lives today. Now, we just finished reading that particular passage. You kind of get the idea of what's going on. But I want to add a little bit of historical context into this particular scripture. Now, back in ancient agricultural practices, fields were subject to sabotage. And when I say sabotage, there would be this malicious act where an enemy would sow weeds among the crops. Now, a lot of y'all would sit back and say, well, that sounds a whole lot like today. You know, somebody, whatever the circumstance may be, it could have been somebody who was a competitor in the sale of wheat or whatever it may be. So what they would do is it was often that you would see sabotage happen to a field to create havoc and mayhem for a grower or for a crop that would be forthcoming. Now, in this parable, Jesus draws from this particular common occurrence of sabotaging fields to illustrate some spiritual truths, okay? Now, in the word and in the translation we're using, you know, it talks about tares. Now, most likely, that is referring to what is called darnel, according to biblical history. And what that was a weed that resembled wheat. Now, if it would grow alongside that the actual wheat, it would make early identification of that particular tare, wheat, or darnel very difficult to distinguish between the actual wheat. So now that you have a little bit of the historical background, in other words, this process had to go on for a while, often before it was caught. So the saboteur may have been there weeks or maybe even months earlier and done his deed, and it took that long to discover what was taking place in the field. So, yeah, as we continue to think about this parable, Jesus introduces the parable as a depiction of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so you got to kind of think about it. Remember what a parable is. A parable is a story that's told, often a story that people could relate to, that would teach a principle or a biblical truth, you know, in a way that was easy for them to understand. So Jesus introduces this parable as a depiction of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the good seed represents the children of the kingdom, while the enemy sowing the tares is symbolic of Satan introducing evil into the world. And then we begin to see that when that happens, there's this coexistence. Remember the wheat and the tare, good versus evil. The coexistence of wheat and tares, you know, reflects the presence of good and evil in this life, the life that we're living in right now. You and I both know that you can see good in life, but you can also see that evil. They are coexisting in our society today. Now, not only does it show that, remember we said the coexistence of the wheat and tares reflects the presence of good and evil. That's number one. This in this parable, it also reflects the patience of God in allowing both of those to grow together, the weed and the actual crop of wheat. And then third, the time of judgment. Okay, in other words, the patience of God as He's waiting on those to make the proper decision to follow Him and to live for Him. The Lord truly is patient. We may discuss that just a little bit more here in just a moment. So one of the main things that I want you to see out of today's scripture and today's parable is that the parable of the wheat and tare teaches us about the reality of evil in the world. It teaches us about God's patience and delay of immediate judgment, and then also the assurance of ultimate justice and righteousness. Now, it's often been said, people talk about, say, well, why don't God just go ahead and take care of things now? You know, we see the world going in an ungodly direction, and people say, well, why don't God just take care of it now? Well, remember, the Word also tells us that God is faithful. It also tells us that God is long-suffering. It tells us that He would that none should perish. So His patience is giving time for more people to come to know Him and to be able to spend eternity in heaven in the kingdom. So when we look at things like this, and you and I could probably sit back and say, we see these things in our lives today. We see evil coexisting with the good, and we just see everything that was mentioned in this parable. So how do we make application today? I've often said that, the Bible is not just about history. The Bible is a living word. It is applicable to you and I right where we are in our lives right now. So it's not just enough to get the head knowledge of what we read about and what we study about in God's Word, but it's about making application to our lives. So how can we take the truths that we are learning from this parable and apply them to our everyday lives? Well, to start with, number one, we need to recognize the reality of evil. Now, when I said that, some of you probably thought, you don't have to look far to be able to see that. Well, folks, I want to tell you right now that there are some folks in this life who do not believe that Satan exists. They do not believe that there truly is evil in the world. They just think that, some people are a little different than others, but they don't view it that way. You need to recognize the reality of evil in and around your life and in this particular world. You need to understand the presence of evil is an opportunity for growth in faith and reliance on God's wisdom. There are times, and some people will say, well, That was a test. And there are times that we read throughout God's word that people were tested. And sometimes we don't understand why God does what he does. Sometimes we don't understand why circumstances and situations turn out the way that they do. But we need to trust in God's sovereignty, and we need to trust in God's grace. And we also need to understand that when we come up against those evils, this is a tremendous opportunity for us as believers to grow in our faith, you know, and for us to rely upon God's wisdom rather than our own. You know, I can tell you this for sure, that 100% of the time that I have relied on my own wisdom, I have been wrong, and it has not turned out to be a good thing. We need to rely on God's wisdom. The second thing that we can do as we look to make application to this particular parable in our lives is that we need to understand that we need to be patient and discerning. Now, I could do a whole Bible study just on those two points, patience and discerning. We don't live in a world of patient people. I said we have drive-through everything. We've got order ahead on your app. We don't like to wait in line. You know, we go to a restaurant if you're in a place that's highly populated, and they tell you it's going to be an hour and a half to 2 hours before you can sit at a table, and we start to get a little bit cranky. We're not very patient people in our society today, but we need to learn to be patient. Now, I also want to interject something else when I say we need to learn to be patient, because people will sit back and say, well, I'm not a very patient person. I'm going to pray for patience. Let me give you a little caution against doing that, and you'll understand why when you hear me out. You know what? When you ask God, Lord, give me patience, how do you become good at something? Now, if you think about that and ponder that thought for a minute, the way that you become good at something is you practice. Now, if you sit there and ask God, Lord, give me patience, you know what he's probably going to do? And again, I can't speak for God, but I've seen it a lot of times. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in others' lives. But what happens at that point is you start to get some practice in being patient, and that's not what we really want. And then I've said that and shared that with folks before, and they said, well, if I shouldn't pray for patience, what should I pray for? I said, a great thing to pray for is wisdom. You know, God, give me the wisdom to try to see what it is that you are doing. But one of the things that we have to do that is pointed out in this parable as well, and one way we can make application to that in our lives, is that we need to be patient and discerning. And we know what that means. We need to be able to discern. We need to avoid hasty judgments. And we need to look to God for understanding and timing. Now, how do we point that back to the scripture and the parable that we're talking about? Remember what it was that the servant said when he went to the master and he said, man, we got a problem. There are tares or weeds that are growing in the wheat. Yeah, I thought you sowed good wheat. He said, well, we did. And so the master said, you know, this has been done. My field has been sabotaged by somebody who has something against me, or for whatever reason. So then the servant says, well, do you want us to go in and pull the weeds out? And of course, the master said, no, don't do that. He said, because if you do that, you may damage the wheat that it's growing right there with. And remember what that's representation of. That's representation. The wheat is representation of the good. The tares or the weeds are representation of the evil. And he says, no, don't pull the tares out there. Let them grow together. And then what will happen is at the time of the harvest, I will have the reapers pull the tares out and separate them from the wheat. And the tares or the weeds will be bound up and they will be burned. So what can we learn from that? How can we make application to that? Remember, avoid hasty judgments. Don't sit back and say, well, I'm going to go here and pull all these weeds out and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. Remember, God's got a plan. So you avoid the hasty judgments and you look to God for understanding, number one, why you do what you do, and look to God for the right timing. You know, I've often said this when it comes down to prayers. You know, sometimes God answers yes. Sometimes God says, yeah, I'm going to answer your prayer right now. Sometimes God says, nope, I'm not going to answer that prayer because that's not what's going to be best for you. And sometimes God says, wait, and we don't like that. See, that plays back into that patience characteristic. You know, sometimes it's not that God's not going to answer our prayer. It's just that it has to be done in his timing for our growth and for our best interest. And those type things happen in your life all the time. So don't get frustrated. Don't sit back and say, well, God's not answering my prayer. You know what? It just may not be the right time for God to provide the answer for that prayer for you, okay? So the second thing that we needed to learn was to be patient and discerning. The third thing that we can learn out of this parable is that we need to live with hope and responsibility. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. We live in a world that likes to shrug its responsibility. I have said to my congregation before, I have never met more perfect people in my whole life. Now, whether it's in your job place, whether it's in your school, whether it's your neighbors, whatever it may be, anybody you interact with, have you ever noticed how perfect they are? They never make a mistake. It's always somebody else's fault. You know what, folks? When you make a mistake, own the responsibility of that particular mistake. You know, it's ironic that you'll shock people when you do that. When somebody maybe confronts you with something and says, hey, did you do this? And you go, yep, that was me. I messed up and made a mistake. They'll go like, what? You know, they don't have anything to argue or fight about. And we need to live with hope and responsibility. Trust in God's ultimate justice, okay? As we're trusting in the fact that He is going to bring justice, we need to live faithfully as His children, bearing good fruit in this particular world. Now, when I think about that, I often think about folks who over my lifetime and my ministry have said, well, I just don't understand how God can let people get away with what they're getting away with. You would think that God would just go ahead and just take them out. Or people have said, well, wouldn't you think that the Lord would just go ahead and come on back and put an end to all this? He is patiently waiting in His long suffering. You know, I that kind of reminds me of that passage in the book of Revelation where it talks about the voice of the souls under the altar who cried out to the Father. Remember, these are martyrs, and they were saying, Father, how much longer before you revenge us or before you take vengeance on those who are your enemy? And the Father says, not until the last martyr has yet been martyred. So let me run that down for you one more time. We need to live with hope and responsibility. We need to trust in God's ultimate judgment. There is a time coming where judgment is going to take place. Like the tares and the wheat, they grow together. And they may seem to be flourishing, but there's going to be a time when the reaper will celebrate the two. He will put the good wheat in one pile. He will put the tares slash weeds in another pile. And those will be burned. And the wheat will go on to do its favor to be sold or whatever else it may be. So we need to trust in God's ultimate judgment. We need to live faithfully as His children, and we need to bear good fruit in the world. Now, what kind of fruit is good fruit in this world? You've heard me say it many, many times. The fruit of the Spirit, as mentioned in the New Testament in God's Word, that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Are you bearing good fruit in this particular world? You know, these are huge, huge things. So when we consider this particular parable, the parable is a reminder of the complex nature of life in this world. I mean, it's tough. I mean, nobody's going to sit back and say that it's easy. You are going to have to, as a believer, live in and among those who are not believers. As a person who is trying to walk in a godly manner and in a godly fashion, you are going to have to walk in the midst of those who are not trying to live godly lives. You're going to have to intermingle with them. Now, one of the important things that I want to point out is that what God tells us in His Word is this: as a believer, we are to live in the world, but not of the world. As you live in the world, you are like that wheat. That's living in the world, but it says not of the world. In other words, you're not supposed to look like the tare or the weed. You are to be the fruit of His labor. You are to be His child. You're supposed to be the one that is productive for the kingdom of heaven. So, man, when we think about this parable, we think about the complex nature of life. We know how easy it is to live a Christian life in and among other believers, but we're not in and among other believers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know what? It's easy to be a believer in church where everybody there is like-minded. But you know, it's tougher when you walk into that world where you may be the only believer that is present to be that light, that ray of sunshine in the darkness of that workplace. And it's tough, you know, when they come up and the worldly things that they may do are things that would not be pleasing to the Lord, and you don't partake in those particular things. Sometimes it's tough to stand on your own, and you are going to have to stand on your own at times in this world and in this life, as you stand on what the Word of God says, as you stand on what He says that we as His children are supposed to do. So life is pretty complex, you know, and good and evil are going to coexist together. Some of you all sat back and said, man, I can give you all kinds of examples of that. People that you know within your sphere of influence. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that you hang out with them, but I'm also not saying that you shouldn't. And I want to point something out when it comes down to it. You know what? The only place really to serve the Lord is as you walk in the world. Those people that are the weeds, are the tares that are in your sphere of influence, in your world, in your life, in your family, they need to see that godly witness. They need to hear that godly witness. And you are the one that has been placed there by which to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. You share that by speaking to them. Listen, share your testimony. Tell people about what God's done in your life. Brag on Him. You know, one of the things I always like to point out is simply this. The Lord tells us to be a witness. You all would agree with that, wouldn't you? Be a witness. Well, what is a witness? Now, I want to carry you back to my law enforcement days. You know, when I was out, you know, fighting crime and trying to solve crime, and it came up to a time of court, you know, you would have witnesses. Maybe you've been called to be a witness, or maybe you've had somebody come be a witness for you. Well, what is their job? Their job as a witness is to tell what they have seen and what they have heard. Now, they actually have to have seen it and heard it themselves. They just can't stand up there and say, well, you know, Uncle Bill told me this is what happens. If you're on a stand in a court of law, and you say, well, Uncle Bill told me this happened, a defense attorney is going to stand up and say, I object, Your Honor, that is hearsay. In other words, you didn't see it or hear it yourself, and therefore you can't testify to it. So if you're going to be a witness for Christ, the only thing that you can tell others about are the things that God has done in your life. Your testimony is different than mine. You can't just share my experiences with other people. It's about you sharing the exciting things that God has done or is doing in your life. Man, what a great, great opportunity that is. So our role is to live faithfully, trusting in God's plan and trusting in His ultimate judgment, even when we have to walk among the tares, even when we have to function among the wheat. And yes, I'll be right up front with you. Life is complex. It's tough. There are times when you sit back and maybe even cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, why can't you just put me in a place where I am surrounded by more believers, or where my brothers and sisters in Christ outnumber those who do not? Well, you know what? God's got a plan, and He's got a reason for you to be there, and you need to trust Him in that. Remember, that's part of what we learned from this parable today as well, is that our role is to live faithfully, trusting God's plan. What is His plan? Sometimes you don't know what it is, but you know what? You can certainly seek Him. Lord, I don't know why You put me here, but help me see what it is. Help me to be that instrument in Your hand among these people, or among these weeds, or among these tares. It's kind of interesting that every time I hear this expression where sometimes people get off track, maybe in a meeting or something, and they'll use the term, you know, I think we're getting in the weeds a little bit. We got to kind of get back out over here. Every time they say that, I think about this particular parable, because, you know, in other words, we're not being productive when we're over here necessarily in the weeds. We need to be back over here in the wheat. But you have to live among them. That's the complex world we live in. And the Lord says that evil as well as good are going to coexist in this life until He calls us out to be with Him. And our role is to live so faithfully, trusting in God's plan. And we also have to trust in His ultimate judgment and justice. Your judgment's going to come and justice is going to come. It's not up to us. Remember a moment ago I mentioned those souls under the altar in Revelation, and they were sitting there going, Lord, you saw what they did to us. They took our lives, because remember, those are martyrs. And they're saying, how long are you going to let them continue to flourish before we get justice? And God says, not until the last martyr is martyred. But I will promise you this, when God's justice comes down, it will be far greater than anything that we could dish out. So often we want to take matters into our own hands, and we want to bring about that justice. And I will make you this promise. I have experienced it in my own life. When you turn those situations over to God, truly turn them over to Him, when God's justice comes about, listen, by the way, you may not see it in this life. It may be in the other life. But I'll tell you, sometimes you'll see it right here. And when I've had those opportunities to see God's justice come about, those same people that you wanted to pray that David prayer for, remember how David prayed, I believe it was in Psalm 55, when David had been overthrown for the kingdom, and one of the things that he was praying, and literally, go back and look at it, read Psalm 55, I want to challenge you. David, as he's talking to God, he's offering this prayer, and he said, Lord, I want you to send them alive to hell. I don't even want you to kill them. I want you to send them alive to hell. I want you to have justice to where you do that. And it was like he just had that moment, you know, when that's how he truly felt. But in the next few verses, he says, but, you know, I get it. You're God and you're in charge. You know, you are the Lord, and I will take my respite and I will take my comfort in you. So, Lord, you know, just avenge my avengers. And when you truly turn it over to God, I will promise you that he will mete out justice that is far more reaching than what you and I could ever do. Leave it to the Lord. So as we think about these practical applications that we can learn from our parable here today of the wheat and the tares, or I call it sometimes the weeds and the tares. Remember, how can we make application? Let me run them down for you one more time. First of all, you need to recognize the reality of evil. Some people are so blinded that they're like, oh, I don't see that in around my life. Satan wants you to be just that way. But you need to understand that there is a reality that evil exists. The second thing is we need to be patient and discerning, okay? No hasty decisions. Wait on God and wait on His timing. The third thing is that we need to live with hope and responsibility. We need to trust God's ultimate justice, and we need to live faithfully as His children, and we need to bear good fruit in the world today. Okay? See, the parable is a reminder of the complex nature of life in this world. It's a reminder of where good and evil do coexist together, and our role is to live faithfully, trusting God's plan and His ultimate justice. As we think about that, I'm going to pray with you in just a moment that we will be able to understand this parable in a greater way, and that we might be able to make application in our lives that will bring us forward. Let me go ahead and tell you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week, I'm actually wanting you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Okay, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Next week, we will discuss the lost sheep from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, particularly verses 12 through 14. So I hope and trust and pray that you will be versed up, that you will be read up on that, and that today, as we've looked at the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the Holy Spirit has spoken something into your heart that you can be able to take with you as you go forward. Let me go ahead and have a word of prayer with you as we close our time of Bible study today. Father, as we come to you now, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the many, many blessings that you do bestow upon us. Lord, I pray that as we have taken the time to be in your word, that you will help us to be patient and to be wise as we live in a world that is mixed with good and evil. Lord, we pray that you will guide us to be instruments in your kingdom, to be your hands, to be your feet, sowing seeds of love and sowing seeds of truth. Lord, I pray that you will help us to trust you in your final redemption and justice once for one and all. And then, Lord, I also pray that the parable will encourage us, each and every one of us, to await for your timing and for your judgment. Because, Lord, you are God, we are not, and there is none like you. Lord, I pray that you'll give a special blessing for each and every one who has spent this time today to gather around your word. And may these thoughts just continue to resonate with them as you speak to their hearts and lives and as you draw them closer to you. So, Lord, right now I pray that you'll give us a great, great week as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you have an opportunity, we would love for you to visit us for our Sunday morning worships. They start at 10:45 a.m. Our address is listed on the website that's also on your page, but it's 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And we would just love to have you. We also have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school. We have small groups. We have Awana for our children's group. We have youth age groups that meet as well. So we certainly would love to see you here. As always, if you have any questions or anything we can answer for you, you can contact us. Our information's on the website. And again, I praise God and thank you for the time that you have spent with us today. God bless you and have a great week.